Thank you for calling Launch and Go. This is Darren.
Darren, this is Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Mr. Sanders. How are you?
Well, under the circumstances, good. But I had to make the tough decision and announcement this week that I am suspending my presidential campaign.
Yeah, I guess the country wasn't ready for socialism.
Oh, wait, wait.
Sir?
I'm not a socialist. Okay. I'm not.
You're not?
Democratic socialist.
So what is the difference between the two?
Well, with socialism or dictatorship, you have a government that will tax too much of the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
They will take private property. Oh. They will take over large sectors of the economy and run them poorly.
So what is democratic socialism, sir?
Well, people get to choose for those things to happen.
Oh, okay. So why are you calling Lunch and Go today?
Well, I've got a little free time now since I'm not running for president, and I've got a request of the Beer and Business Podcast.
Okay. So what is your request?
Well, I'd like to come on the show. I know you guys have a pretty good audience, and I need to sell a lot of books. So I want to come on and sell some books.
Sir, we don't have people on the show just to promote a book or...
had people on the show that wrote books before?
Yeah, but they actually had something to contribute and talk about. Do you have anything else?
I ran for president.
So I have a question. You said you have a lot of free time.
Uh-huh.
Aren't you still a senator?
Well, of course I'm Senator of Vermont.
Okay.
But everybody knows senators don't do anything.
All right, sir. Well, I'm not sure.
I want to come sell some books.
Do you have anything else that we could talk about? Maybe a way to help small businesses or entrepreneurs?
Yes, buy my book.
Okay. All right, sir.
The book by Bernie Sanders.
Mr. Sanders.
I forgot the name of it because I'm a little old.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to let you go right now, but thanks for calling in.
Welcome to Beer and Business. You found the best podcast for entrepreneurs. We serve crafty business knowledge, comedy, and yes, beer. And now it's time for our hosts. If he were to pat you on the back, you'd list it on your resume. It's Jake Mullins. And his beer never gets warm. It just sits there, staying frosty, waiting for him. Mr. John Winnie. And if you spell his name in Scrabble, you automatically win. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Darren Flanagan.
Folks, welcome back to Beer and Business. Today is Friday, April 10th. This is Jake.
And this is Darren.
Happy Good Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. Sorry, Bernie, but you're just not coming on the show.
Maybe if we bring some good ice cream along and some maple syrup, we could...
Yeah,
let them sit in.
Well, today we are doing episode number 9 of Questionable Answers. We've got some really good questions that you guys have submitted. We've got questions about YouTubing and podcasting, insurance, computers, all kinds of stuff. Some good questions. We love interacting with you guys, our audience. And so we've got some great stuff to cover for you today. But before we get into that, Darren, we're drinking the official beer of the Beer and Business Podcast, which is...
Lion Creek Brewing. And today we're drinking Wayward Sun, which is a golden ale.
This is what kind of started it all for them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I like this beer.
Yeah, it's their original flagship ale. It's an easy drinker.
It is. 4.5%. This is that typical session beer. This is a nice, cool, refreshing drink when the weather starts warming up.
Yep.
I'll tell you what.
So, we're sitting next to the pool. Oof. Hanging out with some friends, whatever it takes. This is just a good, relaxing drinking beer.
And the good thing is, Lion Creek is still open.
They are. Now, you can't go hang out at the bar.
Nope.
Tap room is closed, but you can go pick up beer.
You can pick up
beer. At the brewery. So, you know, and around here, there's a lot of distribution that carries it. So you can get it from the store, but they have beers at the brewery that you're not going to be able to find in stores.
Yep.
So you definitely want to go. And they're doing something cool, Darren. What are they doing?
They are. Right now, they have a promotion going on. It's an Easter egg promotion. So if you go to Lion Creek to buy your beer, you get to choose an Easter egg, one of those little plastic eggs, and you can win Lion Creek merchandise, Beer and Business merchandise.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Launch and Go merchandise.
Ooh.
15% off your next purchase of beer there. $10 gift cards from local restaurants. So they've got a lot going on. So pop in. They're open, I think, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. Get your beer. They've got it right there at the front. They've got social distancing happening there. So, and they watch them. They wipe everything down after every single customer. And
they just walk behind you and wipe everything down.
Well, I'm fortunate. You know, if they let me through the door, that's good enough. I got to stay like 6 feet outside the parking lot.
Yes, folks, please support Lime Creek. They are the official beer of the Beard and Mrs. podcast. We can't do this without their support. So we want you to go buy their beer and love it. And also support local businesses right now, restaurants, anybody you can spend some money with to keep things going. Please do. This is a really difficult time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to love on those small businesses as much as possible, because it's not going to be easy to get through this.
No.
So we all need to band together. All right. So let's get to your questions. The first one, I think, is pretty interesting. So I condensed the question down a little bit, but this came through an email. And essentially the question is it better to start a podcast or a YouTube channel for my business? It seems like both spaces are very crowded.
Product or service?
Well, I think, you know, if we're going to answer this question, I have it appeal to the entire audience, we got to talk about both. Yeah. And I think the first thing that we got to do is acknowledge the fact that, yes, both spaces are very crowded.
Yeah, they are, for sure.
I mean, you know, there's close to a million podcasts that are now available to listen to, a million different ones. Most of them are inactive. Mm-hmm. So they tried a few episodes, fizzled out, but they're still out there in the ethos.
Yeah.
So it's hard to cut through a lot of that clutter. And then YouTube, my God, I don't even know how many jillions of videos are on YouTube.
Boy.
So either way, you're going to have to acknowledge the fact that you're going into some very crowded spaces.
For their business. So I'm assuming this person has an existing business. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to start it up or make the business part of their aspect to get paid because of their podcast or paid because of their YouTube channel.
Well, I think possibly. And I think that the way that they're asking this question, we should come at it from this angle. First of all, when it comes to the spaces being crowded, is one better than the other? Well, I think that depends on what you're trying to do.
Right. Right.
There's a couple of things that I would give as perspective. First of all, there's one big difference between podcasts and YouTube videos, and that is the search and curation.
Yeah.
So we've got both in our podcast. We've got YouTube videos out there, and we've got I know. Well, that's exactly where I'm going with this. So if you have a podcast, it just is what it is.
You search beer and business, it comes up.
Right.
You search beer and business on YouTube, and you got to sift through a lot of stuff to finally find it.
YouTube's not so mad at us, they've blacklisted us. But that's exactly right. There's a lot of stuff that's going on the curation side of YouTube that is not in podcasts. Podcasts are very straightforward.
Right. And here's a little side note, folks. If you've been looking for our recent episodes on YouTube, they're not there. We had an accident with the camera. somebody dropped it and broke the lens.
Somebody being me. Dropped a very expensive camera, which...
Don't worry.
We'll be back on video soon if you happen to watch us. But
yeah, it's not...
They're different in the way that they're curated.
I think here's one thing. I think you can use both to broaden that audience, and depending on what you're offering. And even if it's like a little extra content on through YouTube versus your podcast, but go back to what you're talking about, the way it's curated.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is, let's just say that your business is, I don't know. I've got Dana Black on my mind, because we're going to be doing an episode of Questionable Answers with her. And she's a nutrition expert. If I was going to start a nutrition podcast, if somebody was looking for a podcast on nutrition, they'd search for it and they might get, I don't know, 30 results or 50 results, however many are out there, but they're going to get curated nutrition podcasts and that's it. Mm-hmm. If it was a video series on YouTube, it's not that straightforward. I could search for nutrition podcast and never find your podcast.
Right.
You know, 50 pages down, I'm still scrolling through and I don't find it because of the way that the algorithms work, it's not as straightforward as podcasting. And, you know, if you look at our audience on YouTube is abysmal. I mean, we've got very few videos that have had a lot of views.
Yeah.
But we've got, you know, tens of thousands of people tuning in to the podcast on a regular basis. Very, very different. So I do believe that because of that straightforward model, if you can, you know, really get focused on your audience mm-hmm. and deliver that content, then you probably have a better chance of, you know, growing an audience than you do on YouTube.
I think the key word when you said, when you focus in on your audience.
Right.
And you understand how are they, what is the best way for them to consume the information that you're trying to provide them?
Yep.
Okay. So, podcast is great. You can listen to it anywhere, anytime, in the car, whatever. With video, now you have to be in a set location and watching that video. I mean, you could listen to it as well, but that obviously the information that you're trying to put out there must have a visual aspect to it that people need to see. So you've got to be a little more focused and yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And think about yourself, you know, so I do listen to a lot of business podcasts. I listen to stuff that's focused on my industry. I listen to broader business podcasts. I never sit down and watch business stuff on YouTube. When I do sit down in front of a TV, I'm like, okay, I'm going to turn on some mindless dribble because I finally found myself in front of a TV. I don't sit down, but everybody's different, and I acknowledge that, and it's probably a generational thing here too because I'm old.
You want to fix your car? Go to YouTube.
Right.
Want to fix the dishwasher? Go to YouTube.
And that's a step by step. So maybe the right thing is to have kind of your longer form, you know, content on podcasts, and then maybe you're doing quick hit stuff that's how to
right.
on YouTube. So it could be a different strategy. You don't have to do the same thing on both. You know, I've done different content on YouTube than I have on the Beer and Business podcast.
Yes.
Different, much different, I'd say purpose than what the podcast is.
Do you find your special purpose yet?
No.
No. So anyway,
you found mine?
Oh, good Lord. Let's look at this from one more aspect. And this could be where this person's coming from. For their business, if it's to promote the business itself, right?
And that's the only
thing they're doing, then YouTube is the key because now it's short, it's sweet. It can be commercial-like,
mm-hmm.
Podcast. And we've had people at some of our liquid lunches and those sessions who have asked that. They're like, I just really want to be able to talk about my product. So hopefully I'll bring in more customers. If that's what you're doing a podcast for.
Nobody's tuning in.
Yeah, you're going to fail. So YouTube would be your friend at that point.
And I also think to your point there, if that's the route you're going to go, you probably need to have, you know, you need to have it in your mind and be planning for the fact that you're going to need to advertise that content because mm-hmm. that kind of content doesn't grow organically. Our content grew organically because we're doing it for you. We're not doing it to sell you a beer and business product
because
we're delivering the podcast to educate you and to entertain you. Because you don't need to be listening to boring podcasts.
And it's organic because we consume barley, hops, and wheat. It's all organic. So what the hell?
It's from the earth. It's perfect.
All right.
One other thing that I want to share with you while we're on this topic is whatever route you go, just know upfront before you get into any of it that you are going to have to grind if you want this to be successful. It's going to take a lot of content. It's going to take more promotion than you thought it was going to take.
Yeah.
It's going to take more episodes than you thought it was going to take. It's going to be more work putting it together than you thought it was going to take. But, you know, we work really hard on this podcast. Most of the time when we bring people into the studio, we usually get the comments like, man, you guys work way harder at this than we thought. I think because they think it sounds easy, like, right. Oh, you guys just sit together and talk. It's like, no, there's a lot of planning work. There's mm-hmm. a lot that goes into it. But it's paying off in more ways than one now. For about 6 to 9 months, I kept asking myself, why the hell am I doing this? It was like, this is a lot of work and there's literally no return. you'll probably go through that. But if you stick with it and you listen to your audience, you listen to their feedback, you get to know who they really are, who those people are that are tuning in, and you develop content just for them, it'll, you will grow organically. It'll happen, but you got to stick with it because it's a lot of work.
And that is grind, not twerk.
Right, because I threw my back out yesterday.
He wasn't twerking, just, folks.
I was literally bending over to pick up a chainsaw and about died. So if I tried to twerk, I don't even know what the hell that is, but I assume it's some crazy dance move.
Yeah, well, it used
probably
to be
in the hospital.
You can find it on TikTok.
Kids are probably moved on from it.
All right.
By now, they're doing something else.
Good Lord. So how do people, if they want to be on the show, what do they do, Jake?
Well, you can call Darren because he loves getting phone calls. I mean, everybody calls him up here at Launch and Go. Or if you don't want to bug Darren, you can go to the Beer and Business website, www.beer.business. You can click on the link that says be on the show.
Yeah.
We have had some really fascinating guests over the past year and looking forward to many more. We've got some cool episodes that we've planned coming up. So if you yourself would like to be on the show or you know somebody that you think would be awesome, just go to the website, click on that link. It takes literally 30 to 60 seconds and we would love to have you on.
Fabulous.
As long as you don't suck. I think the website actually has that disclaimer in the legal. I made the lawyers put it in.
All right, you ready for question number two?
Yes, sir.
All right. I've heard you guys mention E&O insurance before. I recently started a writing and editing company. I do content creation and review for small to mid-sized businesses. Somebody told me that I need E&O insurance, but I already have liability insurance. Is this true?
Okay. So before we get into this, speaking of lawyers... Ultimately, you need to talk to your lawyer about this. That's going to be, he's going to be the ultimate authority on whether or not you need this insurance or maybe, you know, directors and officers insurance. I mean, there's a lot of different types of insurances you can have for a business. Talk to your lawyer. They're probably your lawyer and your CPA.
And for
the two people you can talk to.
And for those who don't understand, E&O is errors and omissions insurance.
Yes.
Omissions insurance.
Now that we've got our disclaimer out of the way and we've made our lawyer happy.
Now let's really come up with a questionable answer for you, folks. Here it comes from Jake Mullins.
Yes. Yes is the answer, I think. I think it's important to explain what errors and omissions is compared to general liability. So you've got general liability insurance, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So I do too. And that covers a lot of things. Like if somebody were to slip and fall on the premises or, you know, somebody hurts themselves on a piece of your equipment. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, the roof, you know, has an issue and you've got damage inside the building. There's a lot of things that that general liability insurance will cover. What it does not cover, Darren, is if you were consulting somebody and you gave them bad information.
Yes.
That's where errors and omissions comes from. It's essentially insurance that will protect you if you make a mistake. So if you give somebody bad advice or, you know, like this person's in content creation.
Presidents have that policy.
Yeah, but funny, you know, they never seem to get in any trouble.
Yeah. If you're doing content creation for other businesses.
Yeah. So here would be a hypothetical. You write some, you know, I don't know, advertising copy for a company and you put the wrong percentage off on there. And all of a sudden customers are coming in like, hey, your coupon says 20% off and you're telling me it's 10. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, we got this big disconnect. Well, it comes back to it's your fault because you wrote it wrong.
Yeah.
So where does the, if there's financial compensation to be made, where does it come from? Well, it comes from you because you're liable. Your general liability insurance is not going to pay for that.
No.
And depending on how your E&O insurance is written, it may or may not as well, which is why you want to talk to your lawyer and really figure out not only do you need E&O, but what kind of policy or coverage levels you should have. It's a good idea. I mean, I talked to my lawyer about it when I started on, do you have E&O for Launch and Go? You probably don't because you don't need it.
No, but I did have an attorney. I mean, all my terms and conditions and everything was reviewed by an attorney. I just didn't, let's just throw this out there and hope that it sticks.
Yeah, I mean, not every company needs E&O insurance.
No. And there's different clauses that you can add based specifically on what you're in the areas, the fields that you're operating or working in too. So, you know, content writing, maybe you went to Wikipedia and you didn't fact check the section from there, and you post, you know, somebody puts that in their business, whatever that you're writing, and oops.
Yeah. Or it could be like, even going back to question number one, somebody could have a business selling widgets and they don't need E&O insurance, but they start a podcast. Well, now they need E&O for the podcast.
Aha.
So there's things that can also change in your business as well. So you definitely want to be connected to your attorney. It's really important, but I tell you that you probably do need it and you should look into it, because you're exactly the type of business that I would be thinking is susceptible to risk. So, all right, Darren, question number three. I hear you guys talking about computer viruses all the time. I need to buy a new laptop. Which is more secure, Windows or Mac?
Which is more secure? Macs. Macs are, but they're not. There's a false pretense there that you don't need to put any antivirus or any other protection.
I've heard that so many times.
You know, on a Mac. And then, you better have something on
there. Wait, Macs can get viruses?
But let's put it this way. The majority of the population in the world there are more PCs out there than there are Macs, right? Mm-hmm. And because the operating system itself has been around, I mean, they've both been around for a while, but it's because there's more of them and it's a easier threshold to break through usually through the code. Hackers prefer to go after PCs because it's the path of least resistance. Not saying that they won't go after Macs, because every good hacker likes a challenge. From time to time, I mean.
Every good Russian like a challenge too, Darren.
Oh, Vladimir. But that's why, that's why there's open source operating systems that you can put on yours. And even if this person is saying, well, I've been using a PC because I like Windows, you can buy Windows for a Mac and load it on there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, first of all, you can make this question a completely false pretense by just getting Overwatch. We talk about computer viruses all the time. We joke about it because Overwatch Technology is a sponsor of the show. So you should have your computer secure, whether you have a Mac or a PC, and then you don't have to worry about it. But it's important to think about too, when it comes to cybersecurity. Gosh, you know, 5-10 years ago, we were worried about computer viruses or maybe malware because it was starting to become a thing. But now so much of cybersecurity is, things like ransomware or,
you will definitely have a lower percentage of a chance to get phished on a Mac than you will on a PC.
But even the social engineering stuff has gotten so good. We talk about like these emails, there's just so many things that could happen, and it doesn't matter what operating your system or which operating system you're on. It's in the email client, or it's in the way that you went to a website and it was a ghosted website and you didn't realize it. I mean, there's just so many ways.
Oh, yeah.
So you should secure your computer regardless, but I prefer Mac.
Yeah, I have both.
I do too, but I always gravitate towards a Mac. You know why? Because I'm a creature of habit. Nothing more. It's just I've gotten used to using them, so like that's what I use.
Gravitate towards IPAs.
I mean, it's funny. Every time I hear people like vehemently fighting about Android versus iOS, it's like, listen, I use iOS because I've been using it since 2007.
I used to use an Android. I was a Samsung user.
Yeah.
And then one day I'm like, but all of my products are Mac products. They're Apple products. Yeah. So I'm like, wait, I could just sync all the way through. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So and I switched and I've never looked back.
Here's the other thing too. It used to be you'd have to worry about like software compatibility. So you could get some software for Mac or for PC that you couldn't get for Mac and all that kind of stuff. Or there's like this common misconception that, there's more beer coming out, that like Macs are better for like graphic artists or, you know.
They used to be.
It's all a parody now. There's no difference. I mean, it's just personal preference. So whether you're into video editing or, you know, graphic design, or you're worried about software, I mean, usually it's available for everything. So I wouldn't even worry about that anymore.
Yep.
Just get what you like. So, and they're all good. That's the other thing too. Like, regardless, across the board, Macs and PCs have gotten exponentially better over the past several years. Just, so yeah, they're phenomenal. Battery life.
Now, if it's price point, you'll go, PC.
So. No doubt. Yes.
Oh man.
Thanks, Tim Cook, for taking all my money. Whew.
I just started watching that on Netflix. That movie, Steve Jobs.
Oh yeah.
I'm not, it's done terrible. With that yet. Is it?
Yeah. It's like, it's so dry. Tell me what you think afterwards. It's,
well, I might not watch it. I got better things to do with my time.
Well, I probably did save you some time.
I'm going to go and watch paint dry on the wall. Is that okay?
Fun.
So question number four. When is it reasonable to make a profit after starting a business? Okay.
Make a what?
A profit.
What's that? Please continue.
Yeah. I've been running mine for a year. It's starting to turn a profit, but not enough for me to take any money out yet. Is this normal?
Yes.
Well, hell, if you're
next question.
Next question is, what are we drinking? So I'm getting ready to open this up. This is a grapefruit pomegranate IPA, 6.3. I haven't had this.
I haven't either.
But I'm going to try.
I do like, I'm one of those weird people that likes grapefruit though.
Ooh, that smells so good.
I don't know. And I don't like sour beers, but I like grapefruit. Go figure. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
That is. Hold on. Pomegranate grapefruit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. Wow. That's got a nice nose. It's soft. You know what's nice? I think it's the pomegranate. Is that what it is? Cuts through the sourness of the grapefruit a little bit. And both grapefruit and pomegranate, as you said yesterday, that drink you gave me, it's a little too sour.
That's good. It's really weird. It's almost like if you pay attention, it's a little sour, but then the aftertaste is really sweet.
That's a nice beer.
Almost like milk sugar.
You can buy this only at Lime Creek, folks.
Yeah, so go to the brewery, damn there. It.
Well, it's in what's the label that they were telling me that I could... use my gorilla hands and smash it with or whatever.
Experimental
brew. There we go.
Oh, that's delicious, folks. Dude, go buy this before it's out of stock. Holy moly, that's good.
Wow.
Grapefruit pomegranate IPA. Tell them the Beer and Business Podcast sent you, and you have to have it because it's that good. Oh my gosh, I could drink the snot out of that.
Oof. All right. So when is it reasonable to make a profit after starting a business? Is there a time frame? Because if all of a sudden you start making money and it takes you out of the... Now, here's the question. You're turning a profit. So basically, everything you've invested in this, you've already gained all that back, would be my assumption.
I think this is a very important point to make. So a lot of times if you hear somebody talking about running a profitable business, you might be turning a profit but not taking any money out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's reinvesting. So let's just, we'll use some easy numbers. You start a business, you put $1,000 into it. And, that gets you off the ground and then you start to operate, you get some revenue. And a year later, monthly, your expenses are $100, but you're bringing in $110 in revenue.
You made it.
So now you're profitable.
Right.
So now on a monthly basis, you're making money. But you may not be taking that $10 back out. You might be funding future growth.
Right.
So instead of putting another $1,000 into the business, you're putting that profit back so you can invest forward into new equipment or whatever the case might be.
So yeah, I'm assuming that this is income versus expenses.
I'm thinking, we're now in the black.
And it doesn't have to do with the initial capital outlay. So I always foresee into the future and go, are you consistently staying in the black each month? And how much are you setting aside as an emergency fund?
Yeah.
And that should be part of your expenses, is that emergency fund, that savings. Mm-hmm. Once you clear that, now you're becoming profitable. Here's a disclosure or a disclaimer, talk to your CPA. Just to make sure where you will stand as far as a tax implication at the end of the year, talk to your CPA. We are not the experts on that.
No, we're not. And I will tell you, so Darren's making a good point. We got to the point where our business was profitable and then, you know, started to do well to where we could take money out of it. But we're not taking all the money out of it that we can, because we're still, like, the money that we're making, it's like part of it now I'm paying myself, and part of it I'm funding future growth. I'm investing in technology, I'm investing in advertising, I'm doing this and that. So, you know, it's just, it's a complicated thing. But I think going back to the original question, you know, if you talk to anybody that starts a business, they'll tell you that it took longer for them to make money than they thought.
Mm-hmm.
It was more expensive to start than they thought it was going to be.
Hell yes.
You know, and so that is, I don't know that I've talked to anybody that didn't have those two things. Like, it took longer and it cost more, but you get there. So I think if you're profitable after the first year and you're okay, mm-hmm. you're not like burning down the savings and, you know, we've got 3 months until we can't operate anymore.
Yeah.
As long as you're not in a situation like that, I think you're right on track.
You might as well pay yourself. Take a little bit of out. I mean, pay yourself something and it's a reward. Okay. Treat it as like, man, I believed in this business. I started it, and look at that. I'm consistently making a profit now. So I'm going to pay myself a little bit. Here's the other thing you can do at the end of the year. If you can function throughout the year without having to pay yourself, a salary or what have you, mm-hmm. and you can maintain somehow with that business, you can always get into, then it becomes a distribution that you receive.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's on a quarterly basis instead, based on your, you know,
or if you put money into the business, you know, talk to your CPA, you might be able to loan the company that money. And then when you take those first distributions, you're paying the loan back and it's not income.
Yeah.
So you're not getting taxed on it, but there's a lot of things to consider. So you definitely want to talk to your CPA, make sure your bookkeeping is solid. And, you know, I've told people many times in our business, we didn't take a paycheck for the first year. And people, I'll tell people, they're like, oh my gosh. And it's like, but I planned it that way.
Take a paycheck. What?
Yeah, no, I'm like, still. I planned
right.
to not take money out. And I had savings set aside that we were living off of. So that's our personal savings set over here that we can pay the mortgage with, that we can live on.
And a year's supply of ramen noodles, and Kraft macaroni and cheese and hot dogs, folks.
Four freezers full of food. But no, we planned it that way. So then when we did start to become profitable, we could reinvest in the things that would accelerate the business. So we had a whole plan to it. And, you know, if you're not good with numbers or what we're saying to you,
right.
sounds foreign, a good CPA will help you with this planning,
mm-hmm.
even if it's small scale. I mean, it doesn't matter how big your business is. They'll sit down and talk through that stuff with you.
Or you just like Nick Brandon, you open a business with $2,000 and you do $1 million gross revenue your first year. What the hell?
Yeah, some of us are ballers, you know, whatever. All righty. Question number 5, Darren. I make screen printed t-shirts as a side hustle. It's starting to turn into a legitimate business after a few years. I sell direct from my website. Should I put them on Amazon, or should I be happy with selling direct if my business is growing?
It can't hurt to expand. And I think e-commerce is a great way to go for additional business if you can keep up with the supply and demand. Okay, we're done. We're out of here. Thanks.
Yeah, folks. Thank you, folks. That was easy. I think it's I think that there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, I actually do know somebody that started a side hustle like this. You know, she works for a hospital here in Atlanta, and she was making like these t-shirts for people that do barbecue, like these cheeky little t-shirts, and turned into like a legitimate business. Now, like her entire garage is full of inventory and she's selling stuff out.
Geez.
Yeah, they're making money at it. It's really cool.
Is this her that submitted the question?
No, somebody else.
Somebody else.
But they only sell their products from their website.
Okay.
Now, they are making, you know, really high margin.
Mm-hmm.
So they're selling these premium t-shirts for, you know, I don't know, $20-$25. And they're probably, you know, when they're buying them in bulk, they're probably getting them done, screen printed, everything for $10 a unit. So they're making great margins. So I think that if your business is similar, getting you on Amazon is going to dramatically improve your reach. You know, especially if your product has good reviews, like you can go out, you've already got customers, so you could go to them and say, hey, our products are now on Amazon. go give us a 5-star review and we'll give you a coupon or something to try to get the algorithms to pick it up.
Right.
And then you could dramatically change the top line revenue by now having access to Amazon's ecosystem. But I think it's going to come at a cost and it's probably going to be margin.
Yes, it will.
So if you're, you know, let's just use easy numbers. These, the folks that I'm talking about, let's just say that they're 50% margin because they're selling it for 20, cost them $10 a unit. Mm-hmm. Maybe going to Amazon, now that you're competing with other similar products, maybe that's got to go down to $15 to sell. And then Amazon's got to get a cut. So it's not, your cost is not $10. Amazon's taking a piece. Maybe you're making $2.50. Maybe you're making $2
right,
a shirt instead of 10. So your margins could be dramatically different, but your revenue could be dramatically different.
You could beta test it. Okay.
You could. So yeah, you could try it.
Do it and take one of your slower selling shirts and sell that one through Amazon and see what happens. Or if you have excess inventory, those are the products you put out there and keep your prime, you know, your big money makers only on your website. But and just it's your, yeah, your offcast would be out there. The other fear that I would have is if they have such a, like the person you're talking about has such a great niche in the market, mm-hmm. and if it starts, because Amazon pays attention and so do other vendors on Amazon, hence China.
It's China, okay?
China. That's
frankly
from the 40-year-old virgin. When they did speed dating.
It's a country, okay, and Earth.
My name's Gina. You're feminine enough for me. I'm thinking about trying a man. Do you remember that?
I do.
So funny.
If you've not seen that movie, you got to go see it.
Oh, my gosh. Do not watch it with the kids, folks. But what will happen is if your product starts trending and moves up and becomes really popular, somebody's going to come in and imitate it and make it for a hell of a lot cheaper than you and undercut you. So that is a thing to,
there is a risk there.
And caution.
Here's another thing to consider too. If you do put your product on Amazon, and we'll just go with my fictitious model earlier. So now you're selling t-shirts for $15. Well, now you got to go back to your website, because if you're selling on Amazon for $15, you're not going to be able to sell it on your website for $15.
No.
So now you've got that to deal with. But I do think that there could be a lot of upside, because if you've got something and it's the brand that people resonate with, even the knockoff stuff really isn't going to, you know, you can try, but you can't beat the original type of thing. And just think about Amazon. I mean, yes, you've got an e-commerce site. That's great. But Amazon, it's a beast. It's one click. It's in the app. It's everywhere. It's just so freaking easy.
Should they try Alibaba too?
You know, I'm depending on where your product is, maybe Alibaba.
If they can go international with it.
I mean, Alibaba is like,
they're huge.
They are massive. It's Amazon for the rest of the world, really. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. So there could definitely be upside, but I tell you, there's a lot of stuff to consider. So I wouldn't make that decision cavalierly.
No.
I'd take a lot of time making that decision, because the one key thing that she said is that the business is growing.
Right.
So if the business is growing and it's a side hustle, what's the pressure to make this decision tomorrow?
It isn't.
There's none.
Unless they're trying to get out of their 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, maybe that. And maybe there's huge opportunity and they want to work on this urgently to make the decision. That's okay. Just don't make it lightly.
Right.
Don't feel like you need to rush into it, because you don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's slow growth, big growth. How fast are they growing? There's a lot of factors in there. And so,
yeah, because once you start running a low margin business, then cash flow is going to be this monster on your back all the time.
Huge.
I've run a few businesses, and I ran a low margin business at one point in my life. My first company was a very low margin business, and I've talked about it before on a few episodes. I felt like I was always 2 weeks away from going out of business.
How much inventory were you usually holding at one point in time? If we walked into the back and said, this is what you've got.
There could be a couple $100,000 worth of inventory back there.
$250,000, $300,000.
Which I would make next to nothing on, because once you pay to finance it, you know, everything that happened, if you were making, you know, 5 or 10% on selling that stuff, all of the cost of holding it, moving it, your defections, your RMAs, everything else. I may have broke even on the damn stuff, but it also enabled a service business that was profitable and all. But the bottom line is the business itself was low margin. And if you didn't manage your cash flow well, because in the beginning, it almost put me out of business. I told that story when we had Brandon on. But after that, I had people that were managing my cash flow for me, professionals. And it was frightening. I mean, I literally felt like I was going to go out of business all the time because we were, you know, on a razor's edge. Now you compare that to higher margin businesses. They're a lot easier to run.
Well, with something like this, here's the here's what I'm saying. Depending on how fast the shirts are coming in and out, how much stock do you need to maintain of just before, like you were talking about the person that the, oh, this person silk screens their shirts or whatever. So how much inventory do you need to keep in stock and, you know, to have it delivered? It's like,
well, it's going to be a lot because if they do the Amazon model, Amazon's got requirements.
But right now they're like, you know what?
Exactly.
We keep a case of each size in stock in these colors and boom, or half case, and it's fine. And it only takes this long. If we call up and place an order in 3 days, the new shirts are here.
Or if we run out of XLs,
right,
and it takes us a week and a half or 2 weeks to get an order shipped to somebody, no big deal. But if you're on Amazon's marketplace,
now you got a,
they've got requirements and it's much different. So you may have to stock a much higher amount, which then again, puts a lot of pressure in the cash flow. So just,
I have to keep 5,000 t-shirts in stock now. Ready to go.
That could be scary.
That's it.
So, great questions, guys. We love it when you send them in. We're going to have an episode coming up with Dana Black as soon as we can get her back in studio. We've got a lot of health questions. That's probably going to be a long episode. But you guys have submitted some great ones. So you want to tune in.
Heck yeah.
Some of them are pretty funny too.
That's
so
awesome.
You definitely want to tune in and hear about people's ailments.
Here's the really cool thing. Maybe people don't realize. If you submit, and we always put something out there for a specific topic, but you've heard us ask guests if they would be on the show again, if we got enough
questions on that topic,
for them to make a topic. So if there's been a guest that you've heard on the show and you just have more questions for them,
let us know.
Yeah. We'll bring them back in. Nobody's said no to us twice yet.
Well, I've had people say no to me 7 or 8 times, but then I finally got the yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So send us your questions and tell your friends about us. You know, while we're all social distancing, it's a great time to binge listen to Beer in Business, to go back and listen to some prior episodes. Tell us what your favorite episodes are.
That'd be
you can email us anytime, podcast@beer.business. It's a very easy email address.
podcast@beer.business?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Does it cost anything to submit a question?
If your email provider is charging you money to send emails, you need a new email address.
Well, how much does it cost to subscribe to the podcast?
Oh, it's free dollars as well.
There
so
you go.
We don't ask anything of you other than supporting our sponsors. So go to Lion Creek, buy some delicious beer, come to Launch and Go, get an office or use a drop-in space. Go to overwatch.technology. And come on, people, you need to protect your computer. Don't let the Putins in. Those guys are assholes.
Yep.
They just want to cause trouble and steal your recipes.
Only if it's a breadstick
one. How the heck it in and take out the recipes.
That was a short and sweet, fun thing to do today.
Yeah. So guys, thank you for tuning in and we will see you next week.